Proverbs 27. Let's hear God's word. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. May God bless you with the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word today. We're looking at those last several verses and some things suggested by them. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. We are looking at questions 73 and 74 of our catechism now, and we come to the eighth commandment. Question 73 asks, actually, believe it or not, which is the eighth commandment? The answer is, the eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal, as we find in Exodus 20, verse 15. Well, question 74 then follows up, what is required in the eighth commandment? The answer is, the eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. And there are a number of scripture portions here that we can look at, and we could include this one here. Genesis 30, verse 30, 1 Timothy 5, 8, Leviticus 25, verse 35, Deuteronomy 22, first five verses, Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5, and Genesis 47, 14 and 20. As we've said all along with the commandments, there are some that forbid us to do things, but it's implied that there are certain things that they command, that they require, and the eighth commandment is one of them. It talks about a godly use of property. Now, you can look on the inside of your bulletin there, and you see it's got a little outline like I normally do. And the things we want to see here that are required are a godly attitude, honest dealing, and a godly building of wealth. These are what are required in the eighth commandment. Now, the first question I have there is not the first one I'm going to deal with. I'm going to deal with the last one in this first section. If you look at godly attitude and you look at point D, I want to start with that actually. Which is more godly, being rich or being poor? Now, we were just in our Sabbath school class hearing about some of these Christian leaders back in the 1200s who were saying it's good to be poor. This is what God blesses. The really godly person is a poor person. So get rid of everything, because this world's just a distraction. This world's not a good thing. And God is on the side of the poor. God loves the poor. And this is what a number of people even today are saying that profess to be Christians. On the other hand, we have some who preach and teach that if you don't have wealth, it's obvious you don't have enough faith. And the truly godly person will be blessed with lots of money and lots of things. God loves the rich people. Which is right. Neither one in and of themselves. It is by the working of God that we have what we have. And we are to use it all for His glory. Just as in the parables that Jesus taught of the talents. To some He gives one. To some He gives five. To some He gives ten. And those to whom are given these are to use it for His glory. He determines if you are a billionaire. He determines if you barely have clean water and enough for the next meal and maybe a little coin in your pocket, and that's it. It is God who determines these things. But in His word, He has said, with what He has given you, work and seek to build up what you have, and seek to build up your neighbor in what he has, all to be used for God's glory, not our own fun and games. And so let's look at these things first. We'll look at a proper attitude toward wealth. A lot of this got covered one place or another when we were looking at some of the stuff being taught on videos that we had some time ago in Sabbath school. And many of you were around with these. Dave Ramsey was teaching these. And some of what he was trying to teach was proper godly attitude toward money. Then some practical ways to be using money. Not all his ideas would be applicable to all of us. And in some things we might disagree that they would be all that great of an idea, but others were good practical things that we could all agree with. But we are to seek to build up wealth and to have a right attitude upon it. The first thing we've got to see is that God gives us the wealth. It all comes from Him. Because of that, all is to be used for His glory. We talk about this sometimes. I talk about this sometimes when we're talking about the tithe in the morning service, that it is a picture of our entire consecration. God doesn't really just get 10%. He gets everything, because 10% isn't His. Everything is His. We just sang about this in Psalm 24, didn't we? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the seas and all therein. All right, that's King James, not our metrical version. But everything belongs to God. We give Him the tenth because that's a picture of our giving everything. A second thing we must see is that our hearts must be upon Him who gives everything, not on what He has given us. I think I've talked about this before. But when my grandparents had come to visit us, and I'm thinking of times after they'd moved to Florida in the late 1950s, They'd come up to Cincinnati, or my grandfather would be up on business, and I can remember, particularly myself, and the ringleader for my younger siblings, of when Papa would walk in the door, or we'd go, this really dates me, we'd go to the train station to pick him up. The first question was, Papa, what did you bring us? We valued the presents more than my grandfather or my grandmother. It's awful. And I kind of knew better, I guess, as a kid. If you'd asked me right then, what would I really value more, the presents from Papa and Mama or them? Well, of course them. But you see, at the time, the presents were what we were looking for. We'd get to put up with Papa for days, or if they both came up from Florida, for weeks, right? But the presents, that was special, okay? Well, we were setting our hearts on them instead of upon God. This is a wickedness, friends. It is really an idolatry. 1 Timothy 6, Paul speaks about this. When he talks about how people who are working for others, whether it be as slaves or as servants or employees, should be doing so in a godly fashion. And not to be greedy. And he talks about the fact that godliness with contentment is great gain. There in verse 6. It is idolatry, as he says to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 5. And he says that the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. But on the other hand, we're not to be indifferent toward gaining wealth. We're not to say it doesn't matter or it's good to be poor. No, in and of itself, no, that's not the case. First of all, much of this comes from an idea that goes way back into Greek and Roman paganism, that somehow material things are bad. This world is bad. The only good thing is that which is spiritual. So if we get rid of these earthly things, if we get rid of pleasure, if we get rid of things, we're much more godly, we're much more spiritual. Because this present evil world is just that. It's evil. God says no. Now, man is fallen, and though he has the image of God, it is marred. And in him, yes, the world is fallen, and much is out of order. But it is still belonging to Jehovah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The sea and all that dwell therein. We are to seek, to get, to keep, to use, and to dispose of things as we need them and as are proper for us, just as we saw here. This is God's word right here in Matthew, in Proverbs 27. This is God's word that says, if you've been given these flocks, you've been given these herds, you've been given this land, well then, keep track of what's going on with the sheep and the goats. Keep track of how things are in your fields. Be diligent to bring in a harvest. Be diligent to grow that flock so that you can take care of yourself and your family. So that you can take care of the needs of others. And we saw the maidservants here and elsewhere in Scripture. So that you can use it as a tool of witness. And so that you can use it as a tool of dominion. And by the way, I didn't make all that up. I got that from Dr. Kenneth G. Smith, retired minister in the RP Church. The four uses of work, the four uses of wealth. And then, with whatever you have, be prudent. Be prudent That is, be wise in the use of your money. It is so sad to see in the news about some athlete, a young man perhaps of 28, 29, 30 years old, who just a few years before had been earning as a sports star millions of dollars a year. But he got a bad injury. Or somehow or another, his athletic ability suddenly declined somewhat. And he was let go by the team. And he's in bankruptcy. Because although he got vast sums of money, more in a year than you and I will ever earn in our entire lives, he used it up like that. And you read what these foolish young men do with it. And it's not just sports stars. It can be entertainment figures. It can be sudden entrepreneurs in the digital world and all that kind of thing. They get money real fast. They have no idea what to do with it, so they just splurge on it. They use it all up real fast. You and I, you know, we think, how could we ever use up money that fast? In fact, I can remember, I've told some of you about this before, when a relative of mine that was also visiting, not from Florida, but from South Africa, gave me a dollar bill. Now this is about 1961, 62, around in there, and money went a good bit farther than it does now. But I can remember thinking, holding this and looking at it, the first dollar bill I've ever had that was mine. What will I do with all this money? I knew what to do with a nickel. That was good for, like, you know, a double popsicle. That was good for an ice cream cone. That was good for a whole pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit gum. That was good for a whole pack of baseball cards and a slab of bubble gum. What am I going to do with an entire dollar? I will never spend that much money, right? We don't think of how we would deal with multi-millions a year or multi-hundreds of millions of dollars a year with some people. Well, even those people, if they're going to hold on to it, they need to be properly frugal. Because as the book of Proverbs says here, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. Use your money wisely. Don't be spending more than you're taking in. Invest it, and that sort of thing. There are all kinds of practical things. Again, Dave Ramsey went through some of this stuff. But use it in a proper, godly way, remembering that it is not yours it is not yours ultimately. It is given by God to you. Well, but I worked for it. Who gave you the health and ability to do that work? But I trained for it. Who gave you the athletic ability? Who gave you the intellectual ability? All this comes from God. All of it is to be used for His glory. And so use it, build it, and make it all for God's glory. Don't spend it all on frivolity. It's okay to have some bubble gum. It's okay to have some jujubes and go to the movie. That took a quarter right there. It's okay to buy a toy, children. But don't use up all your money that way. Parents, it's a good thing for you to be teaching your children proper, godly use of money. It's a good idea for you to be teaching them that anything that they earn immediately, 10% to be set aside. Maybe, in fact, you can do that with some of the gifts, though God does not require that on gifts. It's also a good idea, parents, to teach your children to save. That money which is invested and used is there later on for the same purposes that I talked about before. It's there available to help take care of your children in later years so that they can take care of themselves and the rest of their family and to help others who are more poor, and to be used as a tool of dominion and a tool of witness. So that's the proper attitude. It's God's, and it's to be used for His glory, whether I have a little right now or a lot. Secondly, I've said, deal honestly, all right? Deal honestly with people. Now, children, this can be very simple for you. Let's say you go to Walmart with Dad and Mom, and for some reason or another, because you just had a birthday or something of the sort, you've got some money to spend. And you want to get something that's really, truly useful. You're going to use your money in a godly way. Okay, that's cool. And you go to the checkout, and the checkout lady accidentally, or something's glitched on the computer. Of course, that never happens at Walmart. Something glitches, and you are given back more money than you're supposed to. Something glitched, and something that was $5, it's now 50 cents. You gave the lady a $5 bill, and she gives you back $4.50, and you think, wow, those idiots, ha ha ha, I just got all this money back. That's a wrong way to think. That is not dealing honestly, and that is not keeping this commandment. You should be, as quick as you can, be trying to get that money back to them. In everything you do, keep truth. Be faithful. Be just when you're dealing with others and with their stuff and your stuff. It gets so annoying to Mrs. Pockris when she has gone to the grocery store to get some strawberries for her cereal in the morning, and she opens up the box, and maybe kids, some of your moms are upset about the same thing, and there are these bad ones on the inside. That's not dealing honestly. That's not dealing godly, right? They're all white or green. They're not even ripe yet, and we paid for these that aren't any good. Don't do that to others. Rather, deal honestly and forthrightly. Someday you children may have your own car, and you decide you're done with it because you want something more cool, or you just want something that isn't breaking down every third day, right? So you're going to sell it. To be honest and godly about it, because you're trying to build up not only your own things, but the things of others. You tell that person every single thing that you know of that's wrong with it. As well as, it's okay if you mention some extra special good stuff, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I put this really cool stereo in. It's satellite enabled and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You can do that too. But give everyone what you owe them. And use what is given to God's glory by being faithful, just, and honest. Also, be diligent in your work. That's what's being talked about right here. Don't just sit around and let nothing happen, right? Because something will happen. I've seen a building before that nobody was working on, nobody was taking care of. It used to be a manse for an RP church in Ireland. It hadn't been dealt with, hadn't been lived in, hadn't been worked on, hadn't been maintained in 20 years. And the roof was falling in, and windows were broken out, and all kinds of other things that just kind of happened because wicked people went by. But also, I mean, rain came down, and wood rotted, and gravity took over, right? Because nobody took care of it. Sadly, this happens all too often with things that God gives to us. We don't take care of them. Take care of the things that God has given you. That is part of keeping this commandment. Work at what you're called to do. This is another thing that I'm leading into, that I should lead into. And that is this: have an honest job. Have an honest job. Right? If you can't find work that you like, find some work. And do it. Godly work, of course. You can't be a Christian thief, for example. All right? There is no such thing. You can't be a Christian professional liar. There isn't such a thing. An honest, godly calling, of course. But seek to find out what it is. And we could teach about that at another time, particularly for some of you young people who are wondering what God's calling is for you after the days of studenthood. But be prayerfully seeking it, and when you find it, work at it for God's glory. Again, the four uses of work. Now I've got a question here, at the end here of the honest dealing. What must you spend wisely besides money? What must you do with your time? This is another thing. Use time wisely. God gives wealth to people in different amounts, but he gives the same time to all of us. 1 second building up in 60 of them, building up to minutes, building up to hours, building up to days, weeks, months, years, however much time God gives us. Don't waste your time. Don't waste others' time. Be timely. And be using time for God's glory. It is okay to take some time to relax. That is necessary. And on the Sabbath day, it is good to find some bodily rest. It is okay occasionally to relax your mind with playing games and puzzles, seeing what's going on Twitter or something of the sort. But do not let that take up the time that you must give to your work that glorifies God. Then further, build up your wealth lawfully. Seek to do it for yourself, seek to do it for others. Be diligent in this. How can you do this? Well, you can, for example, just an example that comes to mind, be involved with a co-op that is doing something. You are working together, seeking to build each other up, being diligent. Perhaps, who knows, you have some ability to make some beautiful pictures, and you know they're good enough that other people like them and will buy them. Okay, not a lot of people have that ability, but you have the ability to do so. And you have some other friends that you know can sell their pictures too, but they're not known as well as you. Let's get together and work together to market our paintings, our drawings, our pictures, and we can all gain by displaying this beauty to the world. This is a way that you can build yourself up and build up others in a godly way. All this is the sort of thing required by the Eighth Commandment. But there's one other kind of building that I want to talk about, and that is this, is building wealth spiritually. After all, Jesus tells us, we saw this when we were going through in Matthew's Gospel, when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, that we are not to most, with the most emphasis, lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Now the two aren't mutually exclusive, but the ultimate necessity is to lay up treasures in heaven. Give to God his due in the tithe. We see this, well, a good scripture reference on this, and I just went right past it, is in Malachi 3, there at the near the end of the Old Testament. There, got it. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then God issues a challenge. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Test me out. I challenge you to do so, says Jehovah of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And seek to be a blessing to others as well by giving to God yourself. Ultimately, this is the main thing. Give to God yourself.
Give him yourself to use as he sees fit. Give yourself to him in and through Jesus Christ, and see that he will use you for his glory. This is what building up riches in heaven is all about, which we looked at in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. So these are some ways that we can be keeping the eighth commandment. Diligently using all that we are, diligently using all that we have for God's glory, and seeking to bring others along with us. Then, whether we have not all that much in this world, or we have gazillions of bucks and a cottage in Newport, Rhode Island, and a yacht 300 feet long. I bet started to say 300 yards long. Now we're talking about a major naval vessel. But, no matter all this stuff, whatever we have, if we use it to God's glory, if we are seeking to magnify him through it, if we are building up using it for the kingdom, then it doesn't matter much whether we have a little or we have a lot. If it's being used as a talent for Jesus Christ, then it is blessed. And he says to us, with what we have and how we've tried to use it for his glory, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little. Now rule over much. Do that for God's glory, and you'll be keeping this commandment. Now, there's one further thing that's not in the outline that I want to go to. Who does all this perfectly? Who does all this perfectly? Who never seeks to use things for one's own personal glory, and only for one's pleasure? Who never fails to do that? Not you. Not I. No, we have all misused for our own glory and for our own pleasure only good things which God has given to us. And we have therefore stolen from God that way. There is no one who has done all that's required by this commandment. There is no one who can stand before God's law as righteous. We continue to need the blood of Jesus Christ in this commandment and in all the commandments. In fact, if we've sinned in any way, we've stolen from God's glory, haven't we? We continue to need salvation. We continue to need the Savior whom God has provided. We continue to need the only righteousness that will get us into heaven, the perfect righteousness of God found in and through the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think that just because you haven't robbed a bank that you are keeping this commandment. Don't think that just because you haven't stolen from old ladies that somehow you are righteous before God with this commandment. You are not. Not only have you committed sins against it, you've not done this commandment. Go to Jesus. Seek his forgiveness. Find life. Find eternal wealth in him and in him alone. Amen.